Welcome. You're listening to The Aligned Self, Conversations in Creating a Conscious and Abundant Life. This is Daniel Denovi. I'll be your guide and host. Let's see just where we can take this. Hello, friend, and welcome back to the conversation. I've had a couple people ask me about my reinvention. If you've not been a long-time listener, back in August last year, I declared that I was reinventing myself. I was setting some new goals and actually embracing an exponential mindset. So the questions have kind of centered around what does that look like and what is an exponential mindset? Well, in this episode, I'm going to explain that. I can't go as in-depth because it involves a lot, but I'll give you an outline of what that looks like, what that entails. And if you're a business owner, you may want to pay particularly close attention to this because a lot of the principles you can put in place right away. And if you really want to dive deep, I'm going to invite you to join me in a little mastermind. I'm going to have a very limited mastermind that is focused entirely around getting exponential results. So first, what inspired me to reinvent myself, to declare a reinvention of Daniel Denovi? Well, I had taken an assessment of my performance over the last 10 years, and I realized that I was a little stale. I wasn't necessarily as inspired about my life as I had been in the past. Now, I had found myself in the same place that a lot of people find themselves, and that is the comfort zone. Now, even though I've expanded my comfort zone considerably over the years, I had acquiesced probably over the last 10 years of not really pushing the boundaries of my comfort zone the way I could have or the way I can. The other aspect of this inquiry about just what's possible has a little bit to do with my morbidity. I was taking a look, you know, I'm in my early 60s, and I was looking at how much longer do I have to be on the planet? How long do I plan on being on the planet? And what do I want to get done? Have I gotten everything done that I set out upon back when I was 18? Not even close. Now, I'll be the first to admit that I have some pretty lofty goals. I think pretty big. The first audio tape, a cassette tape that I purchased that was expanding my thinking was The Magic of Thinking Big by David Schwartz. And I have to tell you, I probably have listened to that audio, oh gosh, hundreds of times over the years. In fact, the tape is actually worn out. I haven't listened to it in over 10 years. But that first tape, that first message, that first inspirational message has guided me ever since I first heard it when I was 19. Now, I haven't always created stretch goals. But what usually happens is every 3 to 5 years, ever since I was 13, every 3 to 5 years, I hit a plateau. And in that plateau, I make a reassessment of where I've been, what I want to do, and am I on course? And I, virtually every time I've come to the assessment that I am not on course, that I have lost my way, and I reorient myself and I take off in a new direction. And back in August, that was one of those moments. Even though it had been over 10 years since I've really stretched myself, really set about a transformational course of action. Now, I guess I should explain this or define this, create a distinction, the difference between incremental change and transformational growth. Because over the last 10 years, I have been experiencing incremental change. And you can think of that as tweaking this and tweaking that, adding a little bit there and a little bit, you know, adding a little spice to a dish to change the flavor, to bring out more flavors. Now, transformation is about a whole new dish, a whole new level of existence, a whole new way of thinking. And back in August, I made the declaration that I was going to assume that I had accomplished nothing up until this time. Even though I've worked with over 10,000 people, you know, I have a nice, you know, somewhat successful podcast, not a lot of people know who I am. Not a lot of people, when you consider all the people on the planet, it's a relatively drop in the ocean. Now, when I make the statement that I want to be known far and wide, I don't necessarily want to be known for my own ego's sake, but my ego is part of it. But a bigger part of it is the difference that I can make for other people. Part of my current self-identity is the knowing that I can make a difference for people, that I do on a regular basis. I make difference. I can create some change and transformation for people that have been in therapy for 8-10 years, in sometimes a single afternoon. A couple years ago, I had a guy set up a session with me, just an hour session, and he was at the end of his rope. He had been in therapy for the last 6 weeks, wasn't seeing any change, and no distinct changes, no distinct differences, and he was just wondering, how long is this going to last? Did I have anything to offer him? Well, I talked to him for an hour. We just explored what his challenges was, what he was going up with, what were the underlying beliefs. And at the end of the hour, he said to me, "You've made more difference in my life in 1 hour than 6 weeks of therapy." My first thought was actually, you undercharged for this hour. Because he had invested $250 a session over 6 weeks. And in that hour with me, he did not pay anything close to that $1,500. But then I had another client about 10 years ago. She had been in therapy for 8 years with the same issue. And after the third session with me, she had none of the symptoms, none of the issues that were plaguing her. Now, I don't do mental health. I come from the perspective that you have learned how to be who you are. Every activity, every behavior, every belief that you have, you learned to have it. So I work on an educational model. And you can't unlearn something because once you learn it, you always know it. But I can offer up some alternatives, some options for behavior, some new ways of learning, some new ways of interacting in the world. And because of that, your other than conscious mind will pick the most benevolent outcome, the one that works the best for you. And so I guess you could say I tend to re-educate your other-than-conscious mind, which yields different results. Now, let's go back to our original topic of transformational results. Now, in order to create a transformation, you actually need to begin thinking different thoughts, and in some cases, a whole new belief system. And I'll be the first to admit that this can be problematic when you're working with yourself, because all you know is all you know. What you don't know, you don't know. You don't know, you don't know it. And so these are blind spots. You're not necessarily privy, or you don't have the perspective to identify the beliefs and values that aren't working for you, because the beliefs and values you currently have are validated in your current experience. So how we get around this is for you to look at the end. Where do you want to end up? What is the result? What or who is the future self that you want to evolve into? Identify that. Get as specific as possible. And then we start reverse engineering. What do I have to believe? What actions do I have to put in place? How do I have to be in the world to where that future self is an aligned, natural expression? Then I start getting a whole list of things, and then I start looking at, am I currently doing that? Do I have access to that skill? Do I have access to that belief? Do I believe that? Are my behaviors in alignment with that belief? If it's a value or a guiding principle, is that principle part of my value system? If not, could I put it in? Do I have to change what my values are in order to align with that future self? This mental exercise of looking at where you want to end up and reverse engineering it in going backwards, step by step, action by action, is a very valuable tool in identifying who do you need to be today in order to make that future self self-evident or an authentic, aligned expression. If you're a student of Law of Attraction, this is exactly what you want to do as far as creating or manifesting a certain result. Assume the feeling of the wish fulfilled. My favorite quote from Shakespeare, to assume a virtue, act as if you have it not. These attributes and characteristics of my future self were not necessarily self-evident immediately back in August. I was in an inquiry up until like the first of the year. Now, an inquiry is when you're investigating, you're looking, you're not necessarily seeking an answer, you're accumulating information, you're investigating, you're asking different questions and discovering new questions to ask. As I said in an earlier episode, near the first of the year, it's been an uncomfortable process. Uncomfortable from the perspective that I'm challenging who I am. I'm assuming that I may not know who I really am. And I've done a lot of work to investigate or establish an identity. But, you know, I'm just coming from this inquiry. What if I got it all wrong? What if I don't know anything? What if there's a lot more to be discovered? What behaviors and habits have I fallen into because it's just been easy? I haven't really challenged it. Now, I probably should say that this inquiry, this exploration, this questioning is something that I've done periodically every 3 to 5 years. You know, what's not working? Just really looking at who am I in relationship to how I want to be. And I'll have to admit that ideal has evolved over time. The ideal self that I hold today is not the same ideal self that I had 15 years ago, 10 years ago. Because every time we reach the top of a mountain, every time we reach the top of a hill, we can see further, we can see more. And then we see another hill, we climb to the top of that hill, and there's even more to create. With that said, that is one of my values, my guiding principles, Japanese term Kaizen, constant, never-ending improvement. Okay, so one of the questions I've been asking is how can I create exponential results from this point forward? How do I 10x my thinking, 100x my thinking? How do I take it out to the nth degree? Well, our capacity, how much we're capable of, how much we can accomplish, how high is high for us, our capacity is a state of mind. That capacity, that ceiling to our potential is determined by when we say we can't. Now, I had a firsthand experience of this back when I was in my 20s. I was at a bar having a drink, sitting at the bar by myself. It was a long day at work. And a guy came in, sat next to me, struck up a conversation. And during our conversation, he said that he had spent the entire day in a number of interviews for a new job, that he'd been unemployed for the last 7 months. And he said he was currently exhausted from all the interviews. He kind of wistfully said, thinking to himself, I just need to find something that pays $75,000 a year. When he said that, I was intrigued. I said $75,000 a year, which at the time was a lot more than I was making in my 20s. But I asked him, why not find a job that pays $100,000 or $120,000 or even $150,000? And his response really caught me, really caught my attention. It was as if the color drained out of his face as he considered a job paying $120,000 or $150,000 a year because it was outside his comfort zone. That wasn't immediately apparent, but as he talked, he said, I just don't have the qualifications. I don't want to work that hard. He had all the rationales on why he was well-equipped to get a job at $75,000 a year, but not $120,000 a year or $150,000 a year. He had a built-in capacity about how much he was willing to invest himself in and how much he was willing to make as a result. So as part of my own inquiry, I've been exploring what is my capacity, what is my own built-in idea, and how would I be different if I was to create a 10x result, 10x my impact on the world, 10x my income, 10x the enjoyment that I have in my relationships. This question, how do I create exponential results, is the first perceptual frame that begins making all the difference. See, most people are invested in incremental change. How do I lose 10 pounds? How do I make $1,000 more a month? How do I increase? You know, people don't think about doubling their income. You know, doubling is pretty easy. You just work twice as hard. And if you work for somebody else, you might get a job that pays twice as much. You might get the accreditation. You might get the skill set, the certifications in order to make you eligible for a job that pays twice as much. Sometimes you just have to go out and ask. But again, most people don't ask that far outside their comfort zone. So that's the first part, is expanding your idea of what your capacity is. But that frame of reference, how do I achieve exponential results? You start accumulating a lot of different knowledge. That's been the inquiry that I've been in. And it's also where I've butted up against what I thought I currently knew. You see, I've worked with professional athletes. I've worked with executives, entrepreneurs. I am a peak performance coach. So I thought, you know, I have a model. I have a mindset already, but am I doing that for myself? Am I achieving the results, you know, that exponential result? And so I'm approaching it from a different perspective now. Again, really questioning what I currently know. Now, Grant Cardone, who's now a billionaire, wrote the book, The 10X Rule. And in that book, Grant talks about the mindset of the 10X rule, 10X results, which begins changing your thinking. You start doing different things. Now, something that I'm not necessarily aligned with Grant Cardone, even though it works for him, is massive action. And that's also one of Tony Robbins' things, massive action. It's kind of that idea that if you throw enough spaghetti at the wall, some of it's going to stick. But I'm entertaining a different question. Can I get 10x results and actually work less? Can I create a bigger impact? Can I reach more people? Can I make more money? Can I have more enriching, fulfilling relationships with less effort, less struggle? And the answer is yes. But you have to begin identifying the most critical aspects, the most important projects and priorities that are going to get you there. A lot of us waste time, and I've been looking at how I've been wasting time, and I definitely had some areas of improvement. With that said, this whole idea of work ethic, of doing more, getting more results, it has a lot to do with your mindset. And I've always looked at what makes something a chore and what makes it a passion. For example, going to the gym. For some people, it's agony. They can barely drag themselves out of bed. They have all these rationales. They have all this resistance in the way of them getting to the gym. And other people pop out of bed. They get dressed. They have their morning coffee or whatever, their protein drink, and they're at the gym with bells on. They're excited to get to the gym. Not every day, but they get themselves there. And I've always wondered, what makes it a lifestyle choice for somebody else and a have to and an obligation to somebody else? It's all in how we frame it in our mind. And it's also tied to our self-identity. If I consider myself as someone who would naturally go to the gym, I go to the gym. If I consider it an activity that I'm putting in, it's not really part of my identity, I have to do it in order to lose weight, it's going to be more of a struggle for me to get there. So part of identifying the priorities is playing with your time horizon. So your time horizon is the idea that you have on how long it will take or what it will take in order to accomplish something. And so on one hand, I've created a longer time horizon. I'm planning out 25, 50 years out in the future. And that vision, those goals are so big, it's almost impossible to see how I'm going to accomplish them from this moment. But I've worked backwards, and I'm still filling in the details on how I can incrementally get there. But now I'm shortening the time horizon. I'm shrinking my years down to 12 weeks. And there's a book called The 12-Week Year, which kind of outlines this. But I'm tweaking it a little bit from my own experience. But again, it's the frame, it's the idea. How can I accomplish a year's worth of work within 12 weeks? Well, it's dependent upon me focusing on the right priorities, the differences that will make the difference. And this is where it actually becomes easier than you think to get 10x results, to take it out to the nth degree. Because there's a concept called geometric progression, which is a series of smaller steps that build on each other. Before you know it, you're at a whole new level of performance. So to illustrate an example for a baseball player, professional baseball player, if they're batting 300, and what that means is if they hit the ball 3 times out of every 10 times at bat, their income is typically 5 to 6 times greater than a professional baseball player who bats 200. Now, you would think that a professional baseball player can hit the ball at least more than 2 times out of every 10 times a bat, and that is the minimum, usually, that you can be considered a professional. But a lot of people are pretty close to that, between 2 and 300. And batting just one more hit out of every 10 times a bat, you are in rarefied air. You command an income that's 3 to 6 times more, typically 5 to 6 times more. We're talking millions of dollars. Difference between a 200 batter, and a 300 batter. Now, the greats are somewhere between 300 and 400, and if you're not a baseball fan, I hope this metaphor is not lost on you. The principle is it is just an incrementally better performance. It yields a leveraged result, millions of dollars of differences, just one more time out of 10 out of every time at bat. So for a baseball player, the number one skill they should focus on is batting. Now let's look at another industry, YouTube. Jimmy Donaldson has one of the most prolific or most watched channels on YouTube. He's known affectionately to many as The Beast. Now, I've never seen one of his videos all the way through, but I heard him on an interview one time say that he's invested a lot of mental energy in deciphering what attributes determine whether or not a video will go viral. And he said that a lot of YouTube gurus are telling people to do as many videos as possible, a minimum of one a week. Now, I've been looking at this because I want to increase my response or my results on YouTube. One, mainly because it's a search engine. And while my podcast does post to YouTube, it doesn't have video with it. And so it's not as enticing to listen to on YouTube without the video. So Jimmy's response to this, posting one video a week and just doing the quantity, putting it out there no matter what, it's great in the beginning. I admit that because you have to just get over the whole fear or awkwardness of speaking into the camera when you don't really have an audience in front of you. That was one of the hardest things for me to get used to because I had been used to doing workshops and seminars, looking at the people I was talking to sitting in my office, talking into a microphone, imagining who's out there listening. Sometimes wondering, is anybody listening? But after 370 episodes, it feels a lot more comfortable than it did in the beginning. But Jimmy's response to this, getting back to Jimmy's response, he said it's more important, because he'd been studying this, it's more important to invest quality time, create a quality script, quality video, put some B-roll in there, some like behind-the-scenes stuff, and create something that's entertaining that will stand the test of time. And it's important to note that most people do not watch a video all the way through. And so YouTube, the channel, looks at the retention rate. How long does someone actually stay on a video to determine whether or not how popular it is? And the longer people watch it, the more they push it out. The algorithm will push it out to more and more people, so more and more people see it over time. Well, Jimmy said that if you can create a video that retains people 10% longer, keeps their interest longer in the video. A lot of people jump off within the first minute. YouTube will push that video out, if there's a longer retention rate, to 1,000, 10,000, potentially 100,000 more people, just because there's an increase, a 10% increase in viewer retention. I'm hoping that you did not get lost in the details, but you got the point that just a 10% increase in effectiveness yields a 10x return or a 10,000x return. So to sum this point up between the baseball players and YouTube is that you do not have to 10x your struggle, 10x your effort in order to yield 10x results. Other ideas that are behind this, like I said earlier, the geometric progression, the compounding effect, leveraging leverage. There are several foundational concepts, mindsets, that will get you to 10x or get you to an exponential result. And like I said earlier, if you're a business owner and you've achieved already a certain level of success, but you want to take it to the next level, you really want to milk it for all it's worth, maybe you just want to work less and get the same results. Right now, I'm inviting five of you to join me as I put this practice with myself. I'll work with you one-on-one, and of course, your goals are going to be your goals, but essentially the mindset, the practices, the frames are going to be the same from person to person, situation to situation. Now, some will be more applicable to others, but again, this is personalized and tailored just to you. So if you'd like to be part of my little mastermind, email me at support@danovi.com. That's support@danovi.com. It's not going to be in the show notes because if I put it in the show notes, then I get all kinds of spam email. So support@danovi.com. And we'll see if you're a fit. Now, one last concept that I want to share with you in this episode as far as getting exponential results is you can give up the idea that you have to do it all on your own. For one, you don't have to figure it out on your own. I'm doing a lot of the figuring out, and I'll assist you along the way. And if you're not necessarily in business, but you want to achieve some exponential results for your life, continue to listen to the podcast, because I'll share a lot of these concepts over time and you can implement them. In fact, ever since I started this podcast, I've been in that mindset of peak performance, exponential results. How do you make a profound difference for your life? So the first step is to find a coach, not necessarily me, but find a coach, find a teacher, find a mentor that can lead you in the right direction. My first coach led me from knowing virtually nothing to making a profound difference for a lot of people. My next two coaches led me to a level where I was considered world-class coach. Now, I'm not like your traditional coach. I have a background more akin to therapy, more akin to healing than get out there and run harder. I like to get at the root, and I'm probably going to have to redefine it. I've been really thinking about my definition of me as a coach. I'm going to have to redefine who I am, because I affect things on so many different levels that just saying I'm a coach really doesn't cut it. So coach, mentor, a teacher to lead you farther, faster than you can get there on your own. Next is a strategic alliance. Could be a partner, could be a partner on your project, could be somebody else that you hire, somebody else you bring on that are volunteering to assist you on doing some of the things that you don't like to do that take up your time. Bringing them on frees you up more. Years ago, when I lived on my own, I was a terrible housekeeper. And so I hired someone to come in once every 2 weeks. She came in for 2 hours and cleaned everything from top to bottom, straightened things up, and vacuumed and went on her way. And at the time, she only charged me $9 an hour for $18 every 2 weeks, $36 a month. I had my apartment cleaned, my laundry done. She even folded my underwear. And she was more than happy because that $18, that $36 a month made a difference for her. It was only 4 hours for her, but it freed me up a tremendous amount of time. One, because I just started putting in practices to keep things more in order so it would be easier for her to clean. I created a new habit around that, but I didn't have to actually invest the time in cleaning. I was busy doing other things. I was busy going out and living. But in this day of online businesses, there's virtual assistants. There's other people that are more than willing to do the things that you don't want to do. There's people here in the United States. There's people in other countries. There's a whole host of people that are very adept in the Philippines. They speak very good English, sometimes better English than a lot of the Americans. And it can be very affordable to get someone to assist you in your efforts. Now, I didn't get a chance to talk about the five dimensions of wealth from my perspective. That's time wealth, money wealth, relationship wealth, peace of mind, and free time. Freedom to do whatever you want, when you want to do it. I've begun taking 2 days off a week where I don't do anything around the podcast, nothing around my business, and it's been different. It's because I've worked every day. I've worked every day of my life for just about, I don't know how many years. I can't even remember. But to me, it's always been a passion. I've always done something around my business on one day or the other. But I've decided to assist my wife and take things off her plate. And so for 2 days a week, I'm invested in other things. That means I have to be more concerted, more deliberate in how I spend the other time when I'm actually working. The other thing I'm working on is how do I create less Zoom. Fewer Zoom calls, fewer time on Zoom. Am I saying that right? Spitting it out. So I'm looking at asynchronous communication. What does that mean? It just means that we're not necessarily on the same channel at the same time. It's relying a little bit more on email, voice messaging, video messaging, where I'll record a video and send it off to you, and maybe you won't watch it for a day or 2 days, and then you'll respond. And so you can actually work with me on your own time, on your own terms, in a way that works for you. And I can do the same thing on this end. But back to my time freedom, time off. I'm working on the premise that I'm going to be taking up to 3 months off this year. Now, I don't want any lag time in my productivity. I still want to produce things. I still want the podcast to go out. So that means that I'll have to approach my workload differently, my production level differently. And so remember, the frame that we set, we start changing our thinking. We start adapting, and how can I change my behavior? What systems do I need to put in place? What behaviors need to shift and change in order for me to get the result that I want? So the whole, I guess the big gist of this whole episode is, how big do you want to live? If you were to play the game, if I were just to 10x my results, what would that look like? How can I become 10 times happier in my relationships? What things do I need to put in place? How much time do I need to spend with my significant other? Not only the time, but what activities do I want to make sure we're taking part in together during that time? Added to my intimate relationship are reaching out and connecting with people out in the world. I had this conversation probably 4 months ago with my wife, saying, I can't remember a time where I've gone out and I've not been on, quote unquote. I've not been the coach. I've not been the teacher. I've not been like the focus or commanding the conversation. Not necessarily commanding, but being a voice in it. Very seldom have I been able to go anywhere in the last 10 years and sit in the back of the room, sit off to the side, and listen with no agenda, no role to play, just as a listener. Now, this just struck me as something I didn't say that I probably should say in this episode, and that is to live an exponential life, you begin at your self-concept, your self-identity, because you cannot outperform, you cannot create anything that you do not believe you can create. So one of the first tasks that you enroll yourself on is, how do you expand your self-identity? How do you expand your self-concept? And in some cases, it's just a matter of taking on a new role. Back in the early 90s, I had a client that was an accountant. She created a software that was based in Excel, a bookkeeping software, which for the time, it was advanced. It took care of a lot of the things. It freed up a lot of time for bookkeepers. They just plugged in the numbers and let things tabulate. She had a software company. She had to change her perception about who she was. All she did was adopt the role of being a CEO. When she introduced herself, she no longer said, I'm a bookkeeper. She said, I'm the CEO of an accounting software company. And then she began introducing herself, saying, I'm the CEO of a software company that frees up about 20 hours a week for accountants and bookkeepers. Just in her introduction, she sold her product. Everyone wanted to know, what is it? How can I get it? How can I save 1,000 hours a year? This also changed her concept of what she delivered. Once she realized what the impact was, what the cost of savings was to the client, she charged 3 times more than she originally started with. Overnight, her profitability increased 300%. For me personally, as a coach, when I shifted my mindset from per session to the result, I started charging by the result I get. It exponentially increased my income, which also orients my client towards the result that they're getting, not how much they're paying per session. Which brings me back around to geometric progression. Let's say that you have 5 indices in your business, 5 indices in your life from your day-to-day that really tell or a key indicator of your performance in a particular area. Now, if you have 5 indices, 5 variables, and you make a 10% increase in performance on each of those indices, it's not a 10% increase across the board. It's a geometric progression. Each improvement builds on the other improvement, and you end up with about 100% increase, in some cases, 1,000% increase with a 10% increase on 5 different indices. Now, if you drill down further and identify the variable, the indice that is the critical difference, like the 1 more bet out of 10, and you double down on that, you have a geometric or a compounding effect. So, my friend, if I was to sum up this episode, I want you to think bigger, dream bigger, begin thinking, if I was to 10x my life, what would it look like? What would I be doing differently? If I was to 10x my income, and maybe 10x is like really stretches your imagination, in like the guy in the bar, your color goes out of your face, and it's just so far outside of your comfort zone. Think in more incremental steps. What if you were to add another $1,000 to your income? How might you do that? You can create a side gig, and there's tax savings, and there's lots of different things. What if you were to increase it by $2,000 a month? You could really change your entire lifestyle. And there's lots of different ways you can do that once you begin looking. Studies have shown for families that the typical parent spends about 7 minutes per child of one-to-one undivided time. What if you were to double that? 15 minutes of undivided attention to each child. Do you think it would change our life? You think it would change your life? You betcha. The possibilities are endless. And remember, the ceiling to your potential is only built the moment you say, I can't. So you get to say, until next time, this is your friend and host, Daniel Danovi, urging you to follow your bliss. Live your life from inner signals. Be inner directed as you engage in the epic adventure.